It is my honor and privilege to bring Miss Belinda Bollinger up today to share with us on her Christmas carol. Please welcome Belinda.
Okay. I had chosen... O Holy Night, and it is my favorite of all favorite carols. And when I started delving into its background, I was kind of surprised at some of the things that I found. So the song began in France in 1847, and it was inspired by a request from a clergyman. The priest of a local church wanted a Christmas poem for midnight mass on Christmas Eve, so he commissioned Placido Capio, and he was hoping that this might draw him back into church. So if you'd notice on the picture, he only has one hand. So when him and his friend were 8 years old, they were involved in a shooting accident. They found a gun that was loaded, and the boys were unsupervised, and his friend pulled the trigger, which shot his hand. And he had to have the hand amputated. And his friend's father, he was so distraught that he paid for his college. And he went to the College Royal de Avanjo, if that's how it's actually pronounced. So there he was, there at age 17, he won a drawing contest, and he obtained a law degree, but he never practiced law. He became a wine merchant whose main hobby was writing. So Placido told the priest that he would come up with something suitable. So he turned to Luke's gospel about the birth of Christ. So he imagined being there that night. And by the time he arrived in Paris, the poem was completed. And that's what the first page is. It was the poem. It was called Midnight Christians. So after he completed the poem, he was so moved by the work that he said it was not only a poem but a song. So he turned to his friend Adolf Charles Adam, and his talent request that he to write the orchestra and the ballad. His ballad brought requests to write for orchestras and ballads all over the world. So he was very renowned in France. So Adolf was of Jewish ancestry. So the words of the poem was something he didn't celebrate. But he made an original score to go along with the words of the poem. So the song was performed 3 weeks later at midnight mass on Christmas Eve. The carol became beloved all over France, but then something strange happened to it. The church authorities, they didn't want the carol at all because Placido denounced the Catholic Church and joined the socialist movement. And Adolf was found out to have Jewish ancestry. The reason given for banning the song was its lack of musical taste and total absence of the spirit of religion. But even so, the song did not get buried because the French people continued to sing it at Christmas ceremonies all over France. Then an American writer who brought it to a whole new audience halfway around the world. It took almost a decade for Reverend John Sullivan Dwight to translate the song from French to English. It is his 1855 version we sing today. He saw something in the song that moved him beyond the birth of Christ. He was an ardent abolitionist, and he strongly identified with the lines in the third verse. And I should have brought it up. I'm sorry about that. He says, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. The text supports his own view of slavery in the South. Now, I came across the story that during the 1870 and 71 Franco-Persian War, on Christmas Eve, during a lull in the battle, a French soldier jumped out of his foxhole with no weapon and started to sing, O Holy Night. nobody fired on him. Then the story goes on that a German was so moved that he stood up out of his foxhole and started to sing. Nobody fired on him. And the story goes on that the fighting stopped for 24 hours while both sides observed a temporary peace. Now, there was a man named Reginald Frisden, if I pronounce that right too. These words are hard for me. Said he was best known for pioneering work in radio technology, including the foundation of amplified modulation, or AM radio. And on Christmas Eve in 1906, using a new type of generator, Frisden spoke into a microphone for the first time in history. A man's voice was broadcast over the airwaves. He sent his broadcast at 9 p.m. from Brant Rock, Massachusetts, to ships in the Atlantic. He began reading the story from Luke, and then, after he was done, he took his violin and played O Holy Night. When the song ended, so did the broadcast, but not before music had found a new medium that would invade the whole world. And, you know, I've really enjoyed delving into this Christmas carol. Now I want to delve in to others. Because this song was written by a one-handed, non-religious liquor store owner and then put to music by a Jew. So, you know, and it's one of my beloved songs. I don't know about others, but it's one of my most beloved songs. So if you would join me and singing O Holy Night.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise, praise his holy name.
Pardon? Oh, yeah, the... Yes. It's going to be... Hopefully it's clear that night. Thank you so much, guys. Oh, stop. Oh, that's right.
Thank you. That was awesome. And that is, it's one of my favorites too. Oh, Holy Night, Silent Night's another one. Yeah. Yeah. It is an amazing song. It's one of my favorites. Even in it, just the theology that's in the song is amazing. Like, I didn't know about this poem part. Yeah, that's awesome. Right? Yeah. But it, to me, this is some of the other one is Joy to the World, that I think has powerful, powerful theology in them. Joy to the World. Verse one, we see the story of Luke, but it's long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Like, that in itself is more theologically correct than most of us were ever taught in church, because what we've been taught is that Christ should make you feel so guilty and dirty, so bad about how you are and what you do. It's just by his grace that you little bit of a worm are embraced and wanted. But it's like this is what he tells you. It's like when he appears, the soul feels its worth, because God said you were worth it. It's not just because sin had to be dealt with, swept under the blood, like we sweep dirt under a carpet. It was God watching in his own pining, in his own agony, as his children wandered confused in darkened understanding, in a twisted view of themselves and their purpose, and worshiping false gods and falling on their faces before idols. And you know, no, we don't have erected statues, but we have them in our pockets, on the ends of our bank statements. Lots of idols. But I love, that's one of my favorite lines in there, is the world is in sin and error pining. Like, knowing that there's something more, something greater. And then the kiss of heaven comes. And then it says, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. They were living in the new age of Messiah. We're living in the age of the Messiah's kingdom, when dawn broke into the darkness and dawned. And see, what we don't know, especially the more Pentecostal charismatic you were, if you were raised in Greek or Catholic or Orthodox, more religions, you would have been taught this more likely. But the Jewish people were waiting. That's why Jesus is always talking about the age to come. It's the word aeon. A-O-N or A-O-I-N, depending on which way you read it. And that age is not necessarily some millennial reign of Christ out there somewhere. What the Jew was waiting for was when Messiah comes, the old age would pass away, which is the age of sin and oppression and darkness, and the new day would dawn, and then you would live in the light of Messiah. They don't acknowledge he's the Messiah because it doesn't look like what they thought. So he has dawned, though. And his glory is seen as the glory covers the earth. That's not some smoky cloud that's going to descend out of heaven somewhere. That's us. The hope of glory is Christ in you. So his glory will cover the earth when the earth is covered with believers. And so, this new day, this divine day, we live in the light of his kingdom. We live in the light of the new day. We live in the day that the Jews longed for. and that our light, the same way the Jews were supposed to live in a way that made the other nations around them hungry to know their God, to live in a way that they would be so different, so set apart, so cared for, that they would want to know their God. That's what we're supposed to be doing for the Jews now and the world. That we show them this is what it's like to live in Messiah's day. It's pretty amazing. Because really the authenticity of most of the gospel that we've been taught is really man-made dogma and not the authentic gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've sold out to a gospel of salvation instead of the gospel of the kingdom. Because salvation may get them to heaven, but the gospel of the kingdom gets heaven and the earth. Because Jesus didn't die just to give us a free pass to heaven. He died so that heaven would be on the earth the way that it was originally charged in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, with us gardenizing the earth. Amen. Amen. So, Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for this song. Thank you for the messenger. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless her, that you will multiply, strengthen her. Thank you for her grace in sharing this word today. And so, Father, as we step out today, we send our blessings to all those who are not here for so many reasons. Some are ill, some are sick, some are having personal problems, some are at work. Greg got called in at 5:30. He was supposed to go in a little bit later, but is still there. So, Father, would you be with them? And we release blessing to them. May their week be blessed. Touch them. Love them. Be with them. Bless them, bless them, bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So next week is Greg, right? And then Miss Avanda. And then I'll be back for the last Sunday of 2020. We're going to... Yes. What's that? Well, it's this way. Even if we're not gathering for whatever reason, we'll be on Zoom and going out with a bang. How about that? We'll at least do that. I mean, I know a lot of people are sick of Zoom, but at the same time, thank God for it, because we would really be isolated, right? Jesus, take the wheel. So, well, Father, I just want to release this. Father, I release blessings, health, and increased immune systems to all that are here, Father. Would you bless their bodies? Would you strengthen them? Guard us, Father. Protect us. Help us fight the good fight of faith, to stand firm and without fear, but also use wisdom and walk in it. And all those who are not with us, and for those in our area, in our region, Father, we just continue to command the crowns be broken off of this virus. That, Lord, that as that this false crowned one would be brought down, would be made low. That, Lord, as it tries to divide, as it tries to reproduce itself, that it begin to break down upon itself. Let it begin to fracture itself in such a way that as it multiplies, it begins to break down its own strength. We thank you. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.